Hi, everyone. This is Syl Stein from The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for podcasters. Happy, happy Saturday. Welcome to the show. And we also present the Coffee Chronicles. It's been a long while, my friends. Missed you all. But I'm ready to dive back in. We are getting a new newsletter. That'll be in May. I apologize for the hiatus on the newsletter, but we will be getting back to a newsletter in May, June, July, August, and hopefully the rest of the year. And I apologize for not having a newsletter now. There's been a lot of stuff, personally, nothing too bad. It's just a lot of, you know, you get busy with your kids, your husband, your family, and of course we have a dog also, and work, and too many things. But I'm happy to be here today. Now, today I wanted to start off by talking about the book Answered Prayers by Truman Capote. Truman Garcia Capote was an American novelist, screenwriter, playwright, and actor. Several of his short stories, novels, and plays have been praised as literary classics, including the novella Breakfast at Tiffany's, which I will be talking about at a later time. But I wanted to focus on the Answered Prayers because I don't know if you all followed Feud, a show by Ryan Murphy, Truman Capote and the Swans. And this is why I wanted to focus on this book. But he was born on September 30th, 1924 in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he died August 25th of 1984 at the age of 59. And he was deeply influenced by Gore Vidal, William Faulkner, Edgar Allan Poe, many others. But basically, his distinctive voice, was something that people recalled of Truman Capote. He wrote a lot of short stories, and but I wanted to focus on this particular story. So we're gonna dive right in. I hope you're drinking your coffee today. I drank my Mac Cafe, and I wanted to start, you know, in talking about this book. And I do recommend all of his books, but especially this one. And Answered Prayers has a very different take to it because it was one of his last books, and they kind of put it together because he kept saying he had it, and many people still don't know if he did. And then I was watching his documentary, and there was a lot of back and forth with it. But I wanted to share a little bit about this book, and I hope you'll check it out and check out all of his books, because we will be focusing on this author and what he in his, you know, his many great books that he wrote, including the true crime novel In Cold Blood, which was written by a real case. And I think the movie where Seymour Hoffman, may he rest in peace, he played Truman Capote, that focused all on that actual story and what Truman Capote's role on that was. So there's a lot of different sides to Mr. Capote, and I'm going to focus on this book today. So welcome back to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for podcasters. We'll be right back so I can start a little bit of excerpts on this book, and I hope everyone's having a great and fantastic start to their morning. Now we're back to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for podcasters, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And I'm enjoying my Mac Cafe, and we're going to dive into the book Answered Prayers by Truman Capote. I'm going to read the back of it. You can find this on Amazon. I bought it for, I think it was $15, something like that. Tracing the career of a writer, I have the paperback, of uncertain parentage and omnivorous erotic tastes, Answered Prayer careens from a louche bar in Tangiers to a banquet at La Côte Basque, from literary salons to high-priced Well, it says whorehouses. Oh my goodness. It takes in calculating beauties and sadistic husbands, along with such real-life supporting characters as Colette, the Duchess of Windsor, Montgomery Clift, and Tallulah Bankhead. Above all, this malevolently funny book displays Capote at his most relentlessly observant and murderously witty. Because Truman Capote never shied away from, you know, being who he was and everything that he went through, and he captured things the way they kind of, you know, have said that he had a very he spoke to different society groups, and he always was in company of different people, and he paid attention to his surroundings, and he wrote a lot about all of that. So it says, Truman Capote was a native of New Orleans, where he was born on September 30th of 1924. His first novel, Other Voices, Other Rooms, was an international literary success when first published in 1948, and accorded the author a prominent place among the writers of America's post-war generation. He sustained this position subsequently with short story collections, A Tree of Night, among others, novels and novellas, The Grass Harp, and Breakfast at Tiffany's. Some of the best travel writing of our time, Local Color, Profiles, and reportage that appeared originally in The New Yorker, The Duke and His Domain, and The Muses are heard. A true crime masterpiece in Cold Blood, several short memoirs about his childhood in the South, A Christmas Memory, The Thanksgiving Visitor, and One Christmas, two plays, The Grass Harp and House of Flowers, and two films, Beat the Devil and The Innocents. Mr. Capote twice won the O. Henry Memorial Short Story Prize, was a member of the National Institute of Arts and Letters. He died on August 1984, shortly before his 60th birthday. And here's a collection of all the books. Like I said, Other Voices, Other Rooms, A Tree of Night, Local Color, The Grass Harp, The Muses Are Heard, Breakfast at Tiffany's, which also became a movie with the famous Audrey Hepburn, Observations with Richard Avedon, Selected Writings in Cold Blood, A Christmas Memory, The Thanksgiving Visitor, The Dog's Bark, Music for Chameleons, One Christmas, Three by Truman Capote, Answered Prayers, The Unfinished Novel, and A Capote Reader, and Summer Crossing. So this is a book that got put together. And it was published. This is the unfinished novel that he kept talking about. And they do mention it a lot in the show or the documentary that they have on, I think that's on Hulu. And also the feud show that Ryan Murphy created, along with others, Capote and the Swans, which were a list of socialites of women that he hung out with, that he was friends with, and all the stuff that happened. In the intro, it has a quote, "More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones." Saint Teresa. And it has an editor's note. And it talks about, in the editor's note, about him signing a contract for a new book to be called Answered Prayers. And it goes into all of his life that he wrote. So I'm going to read a little bit about the editor's note here. And then part one, Unspoiled Monsters, I will try to read a little bit of that. On January 5th, 1966, Truman Capote signed a contract with Random House for a new book to be called Answered Prayers. The advance against royalties was $25,000, and the delivery date was January 1st of 1968. The novel, Truman maintained, would be a contemporary equivalent of Prose's masterpiece, Remembrance of Things Past, and would examine the small world of the very rich, part aristocrat, part cafe society of Europe and the East Coast of the United States. 1966 was a wonderful year for Truman. 2 weeks after he signed the contract for Answered Prayers, In Cold Blood was published in book form with enormous fanfare and to general acclaim. During the subsequent week, the author's picture appeared on the cover of several national magazines, and his new work was given the lead review in virtually every Sunday book section. In the course of the year, In Cold Blood sold more than 300,000 copies and was on the New York Times bestsellers list for 37 weeks. Eventually, it outsold every other nonfiction book. In 1966, save for 2 self-help books, since then it has been published in some 24 foreign editions and has sold almost 5 million copies in the United States alone. During this year, Truman was everywhere at once, granting interviews by the score, appearing on television talk shows a number of times, vacationing on yachts and in grand country houses, and delighting in his fame and fortune. The culmination of this heady period was still remembered. Black and White Ball, given in late November 1966 at the Plaza in honor of Kay Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post, a party that received as much coverage in the national press as an East-West summit meeting. Truman felt he deserved this respite, and most of his friends did too. The research and writing of In Cold Blood had taken almost 6 years and had been a traumatic experience for him. Nevertheless, despite the distractions, he talked constantly about Answered Prayers in this interval. But though he wrote a number of short stories and magazine pieces in the next few years, he did not address himself to the novel. As a result, in May 1969, the original contract was superseded by a 3-book agreement changing the delivery date to January 1973 and sorry, that was my daughter in the background bothering the dog, so I apologize for that, and substantially increasing the advance. In mid-1973, the deadline was advanced to January 1974, and 6 months later, it was changed again to September 1977. Subsequently, in the spring of 1980, one last amendment specified a delivery date of March 1st, 1981, and further raised the advance to $1 million to be paid only on delivery of the work. Still, Truman published several books in these years, though the contents of most of them had been written in the 1940s and 50s. In 1966, Random House issued A Christmas Memory, written originally in 1958, and in 1968, The Thanksgiving Visitor, a short story published in a magazine in 1967. In 1969, a 20th anniversary edition with a graceful newly written introduction of Other Voices, Other Rooms, his first novel, which had electrified the literary establishment in 1948. And in 1973, a collection called The Dog's Bark, all but 3 pieces of which had been written many years before. Only Music for Chameleons, which was to be published in 1980, and which some people, friends as well as critics, felt was not up to his earlier works, contained new material, both fiction and nonfiction. Let Truman speak for himself about this period. In this preface to Music for Chameleon, he wrote, this is what Truman Capote wrote: "For 4 years, roughly from 1968 through 1972, I spent most of the time reading and selecting, rewriting and indexing my own letters, other people's letters, my diaries and journals, which contain detailed accounts of hundreds of scenes and conversations. For the years 1943 to 1965, I intended to use much of this material in a book I had been long planning, a variation on the nonfiction novel I called the book Answered Prayers, which is a quote from St. Therese, who said, 'More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones.' In 1972, I began work on this book by writing the last chapter first. It's always good to know where one's going. Then I wrote the first chapter, Unspoiled Monsters. Then the fifth, a severe insult to the brain. Then the seventh, La Côte Basque. I went on in this manner, writing different chapters out of sequence. I was able to do this only because the plot, or rather, plots, was true, and all the characters were real. It wasn't difficult to keep it all in mind, for I hadn't invented anything. So that's what we have so far from the editor's note. And there's more to this story, and I'm going to keep on it. But for now, I want to start with the first chapter, Unspoiled Monsters. And then I'll get back on another show. I'll get back to the rest of the editor's note. So I'm going to start with part one, Unspoiled Monsters. When we'll be right back to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for podcasters, talking all about Truman Capote's Answered Prayers. And we're back to The Daily with Syl Stein, now through Spotify for podcasters. So I'm going to read a short excerpt of the first chapter of Answered Prayers. And then on the next show, I will read more of the editor's note. So I'm going to read a little bit about Unspoiled Monsters. I had a few, I was trying to record it a bit ago, and I was making a lot of mistakes as I was reading because I'm not wearing my glasses. But I want to reread it and then go into a little bit about how it reflects on his own life. Okay, so I'm going to begin. This was Unspoiled Monsters. Somewhere in this world, there exists an exceptional philosopher named Flory Rotondo. The other day, I came across one of her ruminations printed in a magazine devoted to the writings of school children. It said, if I could do anything, I would go to the middle of our planet, Earth, and seek uranium, rubies, and gold. I'd look for unspoiled monsters. Then I'd move to the country. Flory Rotondo, age 8. Flory, honey, I know just what you mean, even if you don't. How could you, age 8? Because I have been to the middle of our planet, at any rate, have suffered the tribulations such a journey might inflict. I have searched for uranium, rubies, gold, and en route have observed others in those pursuits. And listen, Flory, I have met unspoiled monsters, spoiled ones too. But the unspoiled variety is the rara avis. White truffles compared to black, bitter wild asparagus as opposed to garden grown. The one thing I haven't done is move to the country. As a matter of fact, I'm writing this on YMCA stationery in a Manhattan YMCA, where I have been existing the last month in a viewless second floor cell. I prefer the sixth floor, so if I decided to climb out the window, it would make a vital difference. Perhaps I'll change rooms, ascend. Probably not, I'm a coward, but not cowardly enough to take the plunge. My name is P.B. Jones, and I'm of two minds. Whether to tell you something about myself right now or wait and weave the information into the text of the table. I'm sorry, into the text of the tale. I could just as well tell you nothing, or very little, for I consider myself a reporter in this matter, not a participant, at least not an important one, but maybe it's easier to start with me. As I say, I'm called P.B. Jones. I'm either 35 or 36. The reason for the uncertainty is that no one knows when I was born or who my parents were. All we know is that I was a baby abandoned in the balcony of a St. Louis vaudeville theater. This happened 20th of January, 1936. Catholic nuns raised me in an austere red stone orphanage to dominate an embankment overlooking the Mississippi River. I was a favorite of the nuns, for I was a bright kid and a beauty. They never realized how conniving I was, duplicitous, or how much I despised their drabness, their aroma, incense and dishwater, candles and crocite, white sweat. One of the sisters, Sister Martha, I rather liked. She taught English and was so convinced I had a gift for writing that I became convinced of it myself. All the same, when I left the orphanage, ran away, I didn't leave her a note or ever communicate with her again. A typical sample of my numbed, opportunistic nature. Sorry, I keep missing that word. So, basically, in the beginning of this chapter, because I saw the documentary and have read a lot about Truman Capote, aside from the show, but in the true documentary they gave on Hulu, it does talk about his upbringing a little, and I guess his mother had left him or abandoned him, and he was raised by like an aunt who I guess had some learning disabilities or something like that. So, but she raised him, and she was called Martha, I believe. And then later on, the mother comes back into his life. So this beginning chapter kind of reflects a little bit about him and how he, you know, he was raised differently and his own upbringing. So when I read the first chapter, I capture a lot of how Truman Capote saw himself in that. That's just my own opinion of it. That beginning chapter of what he wrote and how he writes his chapters in different orders, I kind of relate to him in that way. Hope one day I can get my writings just like he did, as far as, you know, his acclaim and all of that. But I don't write them in order myself, because I always let the character dictate, and that's kind of like where you see the story evolving. His story evolves in different places in his life. And I believe the latter part of his life was a little rougher for him. There was some disagreements with friends and things that he wrote, and addiction issues. And of course, his dating life. He had abuse in his relationships by another lover that he had. He has several, and one of them was very fairly abusive to him. So he writes a little bit about each of the different things that he went through. But in this beginning chapter, and that's just my own take on it, not that anybody can quote me on this, but just by reading about Truman Capote, watching his several documentaries, and also watching the show that was just on Truman and Capote and the Swans, and it deals with all of the way he felt and the different things that he was feeling. So I just wanted to touch up on this to start with, on Answered Prayers with Truman Capote, by Truman Capote, who I feel is still one of the greatest writers that existed, on top of others, of course. You know, there, and he was really good friends with Harper Lee. They were childhood friends, and that's another great author. S.E. Hinton, who's written The Outsiders. I have many, but Truman Capote stands up there in the literary world, along with the John Steinbeck, who wrote Of Mice and Men, and you know, and there's so many other authors, of course, and also new authors that we hear about that write really good fiction. But Truman Capote always kept like real life stuff in his fiction work, and in Cold Blood and all of the different stories that he wrote in Breakfast at Tiffany's. I believe he wrote a lot about himself in that character. You know, even though it's a female playing the role, but I believe a lot of the stories, you capture Truman in them. And if you read the book Breakfast at Tiffany's, you could also feel a lot of the senses around him, and in the story of Holly Golightly and all of the journey that she goes through. So this story is a little bit more dark. There's a lot of parts on it that share a lot of his life, and he doesn't sugarcoat it when he writes. He talks about his, you know, him being with other men, and, you know, he never made a secret about that. and he talks about his relationships, you know, with his friends and the society that he went through. And the black and white ball was one of the biggest things that he created at that time, and it was seen by a lot of people at the, you know, in the fat, in the societal, or the what you want to call the rich society and all of the glamour that existed. And he wrote a lot with the New Yorker, and he established himself in that literary world as well. So, but there was a lot of addiction. And I think he'll probably share more on this and when I read more of the editor's note for the next show. But I hope you'll check out Truman Capote and his works, especially Answered Prayers. And I will do another show hopefully sooner than later. And thank you for being here on The Daily with Sol Stein, now through Spotify for Podcasters, which also presents The Coffee Chronicle. And I hope that you enjoy your coffee as you check out this book, and I am recommending you check out his works. I hope you all have a great, great day, and happy Saturday, everyone. It's great to be back. Have a good one.